Welcome back to the BMP podcast, and today I have another guest with me.
Hi, I'm Dakota. I am a student at Ross. I'm a fifth semester this semester, and I am secretary of RCF and quite a few other things.
Okay, so for those of you who may know, I used to be part of an RCF in my undergrad, which was Redeemed Christian Fellowship at SFU, but now I am at Ross Medical School, so RCF here means Ross Christian Fellowship. That's fun. So today's topic is soaring or sinking, and we always start off with good news. So my good news is the fact that I'm alive and that I'm here. In terms of this today's topic, my good news is that I am now very involved in school. I now have friends. I now have people that I can relate with. I'm connected enough with the school, as opposed to like last semester, I remember feeling very detached. But then I'm hoping that it's a blessing and not a curse. So I'm saying that it's good news.
My first good news is my mini on Monday went very, very well. My second is I'm a fifth semester and I'm now getting to experience a lot of my like last firsts. Mm-hmm. So Sunday was like my last first service, my last first mini, all of these last firsts. So it's like the happiest sad that they could be.
Yeah. So to explain that, in Ross we have 5 semesters doing our basic sciences and 5 doing our clinical rotations. So she's in her 5th until she'll be done with basic sciences, and then she'll be moving to, I don't know, where, do you know where you're going?
No, so we passed step and then we filled out a bunch of forms. And
do you know where you want to go?
I'm between Chicago and Connecticut, so my little sister's at the Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut, and the Newbury location in Connecticut is about an hour away from her.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so that's why she said it's her last first, because she's leaving us, sadly. Anyways, you all are privileged to be part of this conversation, because I truly, this conversation was meant to be between just me and her. Dakota has a special talent of doing a lot of things and doing them well. Which reminds me of the saying, Jack of all trades, master of none. When I found out that the rest of it is, but it's still better than the master of one, I was like, well, that makes me feel better, because I've always felt like a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
But I remember starting the semester doing a lot of things and being involved in a lot of things and being really anxious that it was going to make me not do well. But she's pulling it off. So I'm here to find out how she's pulling it off. Okay. So my first question is, have you always been someone who does a lot of things at once?
Yes. It's changed of how much is a lot and like what I've been investing my time in, mm-hmm. like since I've been young. Like I've been in sports since I was little. I've always done clubs and like shadowing and being a part of like medical clubs and research teams. And then when I got to college, it caused me to falter a little bit because I was doing a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. And so I took a step back and kind of assessed my priorities. And it was at that point that I really learned how to like, this is a priority for me. These other things are gonna go away, and then invest my time into them. But I've always done a lot of things, sports and clubs and academics and all of it.
Yeah, I was like that in high school. In high school, I did a lot of stuff, sports. I used to sing, I used to act, I did public speaking. I just did too many things. And I used to go off academic, and I was doing well up until like the end of my high school. I still did well, but not as well as I could have done. And I remember my parents really like pointed out to me that I was probably distracted and I felt the same. So I went to undergrad saying I wasn't going to do anything. I think the only thing I did my first year was tutoring, and I actually did well my first year. But then my second year was my first time I didn't do well in school, like I failed the course, and it threw me off balance. Just was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. So I completely hands off doing anything. I was only part of the fellowship, but then I didn't finish as well as I wanted. So I ended up thinking, so what's the balance? Like, yeah, not being involved and not feeling any connection to this club having the degree I have, and being too involved and then not doing as well as you want. So she's somehow pulling it off. So that's why we're here. So firstly, can you tell us all the things that you're involved in Ross here?
Yes. So I am a part of, I'm the secretary for Ross Christian Fellowship. I am the social media coordinator for Ross Orthopedics Interest Group. I am the chief anatomy TA. I'm a head tutor and I'm a peer mentor.
Okay. That's Great. So this semester, I'm the treasurer for Ross Christian Fellowship. I am the events coordinator for the Canadian Students Association. I'm on the student government board, and I am a campus ambassador. I feel like there's something missing and I can't remember what it is. And so I felt like I have a lot that I'm doing and I can't balance everything. How did you decide? So I know that you chose Ross Christian Fellowship based off your faith, and orthopedics based off your interest.
Yes.
So why did you decide to do anatomy or team?
I do very well academically in school, and so I was given that opportunity. And something that's so rewarding for me is seeing others succeed, helping others. So being an anatomy TA, like getting to help other people understand material, help out the professors in their labs, and then tutoring especially is like getting to sit down with someone and help them to understand a topic is really, really rewarding for me. And then I'm a peer mentor, and I honestly think that's the most rewarding job that I have here at school, is because like you're welcome. I remember how scary it was to move down here, and getting to help ease that transition is very nice. And I'm friends with all of my mentees and I love them all, and I love seeing them succeed.
Have you been a peer mentor every semester?
No, only my fourth and my fifth.
Okay. Because that's the one. So you only have, peer mentors only have like, it's for first semester of their coming,
yes,
that you're attached to. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't remember my peer mentor. Maybe because I was removed.
Yeah.
So I don't think we connected as much. But
It's hard, but like the move down, helping everyone move in and make sure that they have the right things and that school is actually cold and you do need to bring sweatshirts down here.
I remember seeing that and thinking, oh,
that's fine. That's what I thought too.
And then I came out like, why is it cold? I think that's why the first merch I bought from RCF was a hoodie. I was like, I need something.
I know. I was so cold.
Because it didn't just make any sense. So for, you don't have a problem with leadership and balancing things. Is there a reason why you didn't do SGA?
I originally tried my first semester and I didn't get the position, and then I started getting into other positions,
mm-hmm,
and it wasn't something that I felt super called to put my time into. I tried again this semester just because Jess asked me to. So Jess is our student government leader,
yeah,
advisor person, and I put my name in, and if I was called to do it, I was going to do it. If not, I'm not disappointed that I didn't get it. But I just don't think that I was called to.
That's fair. I didn't plan on being a part of it. Someone put my name in. I remember getting the email like, you've been nominated. I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And then I had a feeling who it was, and I went to ask him if it was him. And I was surprised because I had a conversation with him about it, but then he put me for secretary. I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
So I accepted it like for an election. I knew I wasn't going to get it. But I was like, oh, I'll put the honor council rep as a second option. And in my head, I was like, if I don't get it.
Yeah.
Only for me to see that, oh, yeah, you're going to get it. Because I ended up being the only one who was running for that role. But in my head, I was like, I could still not get it. Because you could, even during, I think during voting period, you could still put a different name.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I could still not get it. And I'd be perfectly all right.
Yeah.
And then so when I got, I was like, maybe you do want me here. Don't know why, but maybe you do want me here. But yeah, okay. So in terms of doing very well in school and balancing all these things, what does your time look like? Do you have a set time you're assigned for these things every day, every week?
Yes. So I first put in like my commitments to clubs and tutoring and all of that kind of stuff. I try to only tutor about 2 hours a week. The days and the hours of that kind of change based on like when people book me. TAing varies a little bit, but I'd say on average like 2 to 3 hours a week. RCF probably two. This week's a little bit more with like a fundraiser and something else, so this week's probably closer to 5 or 6. But I put those in my schedule first, and then I study every single minute that I can.
Mm-hmm.
So like yesterday I had a school thing from, I left this 6 o'clock in the morning and I got home at 3 p.m. and I studied for an hour after that because then I was like so tired. But I study every minute so that I can't have those days. Like, if I do 4 12-hour days in a row, then the fifth day when I have a bunch of club events or if I'm just too tired, doing a 3-hour day isn't a big deal.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was even going to ask if you do have a day off. And
not a day off, but, like, Sundays. Like, unless if it's absolutely necessary, from the time that I start getting ready for church, which church starts at 5, I start getting ready about 4 so mm-hmm. I can spend some time with God by myself and then go to church. After that's the end of my day.
Yeah, same.
And it's like, I also, like, if I need to, I will sit back down and study, but mm-hmm. it's not something that's often that I need to sit back down for those 2 or 3 hours before I go to bed. So that's my off time. Like, Sundays are usually a lighter day for me.
Yeah, I think that I was, initially this semester I was saying, oh, maybe I will have the entire Sunday off. That's not gonna work. But yeah, I was like, okay, I want it to be that from when I'm going to ICF till yeah. the end of, till Monday, I should be able to
yes.
not have to study. If I yeah. end up having to a couple of times, that's okay.
Yeah.
But generally, I don't want to have to. Okay, that's good. And then, I feel like I wanted to ask you something else, and it just left my head. Oh, yeah, so you, I think, do you sacrifice sleep?
No. Sleep is, I'll sacrifice my social over my sleep, because you're not going to learn anything if you're tired.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, some days you need it. Some days you can only get 5 or 6 hours. I know some people here that, like, that is their normal. I'm an 8 hour girl.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But, I'm 7 hours, so
like, it doesn't actually end up being 8, because I do, like, sit on my phone for an hour before I actually fall asleep, but, like, I try for my 8.
Yeah.
There's days, there's weeks where it's like, I'm behind, I need to catch up, I need to sacrifice an hour of sleep. But my days are pretty set, so I wake up usually about 4:45-ish, and then I do my Bible study for about 30 minutes, and then I go to the gym for an hour, I shower, I have a protein shake, and I'm usually studying by at the absolute latest 8 o'clock. And so by the time that lunch comes, I've already gotten 4 hours in,
mm-hmm.
and if I can study for another 4 hours after lunch, that's putting me at 5 o'clock. If I want to stop, then I can. If I want to keep going and I get, 12 hours, that only gets me to like 9 p.m. So it's not that late.
That's actually true. That's actually 12 hours. Because I think I remember a day you saying you studied 12 hours, and I remember thinking, huh, how is that feasible? But when you put it that way, I was like, oh, that actually is
and
feasible.
Like, is it 12 hours of me staring at my iPad? No, because I do the Pomodoro method,
okay.
Or at least I try. Because, like, sometimes if you're on a great grind and you can knock out an hour and a half without stopping, great. But then I'll take 10, 15 minutes, I'll go grab a snack, I'll actually go outside for once, see the sunshine, and then get back to it. But it's not me sitting at my iPad for 12 hours straight, not moving.
So the Pomodoro method works for you?
It helps. It helps keep me from...
So the breaks don't get you distracted? You don't have too long of breaks?
I don't let myself get on my phone.
That's probably the only way it would work.
Yeah.
Because I know that's why it doesn't work for me.
Like, when I'm on my lighter study days, I'll have my phone just on Do Not Disturb so I can go on it during my breaks. And, like, if my 10-minute break ends up being 15 or 20, it's not that big of a deal. But, like, usually about the week before the exam, I wake up in the morning, I text my mom, like, good morning, hi, I love you. And I shut my phone off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't get back on it until the evening. Because I am very, very easily distracted by my phone. And so by turning it off.
We all like that.
I also have to do my New York Times like crossword and
that's so hilarious.
So I wake up in the morning, do that, and then I put my phone away. Because it can be so distracting. But I just try to like move. I'll go outside, see the sunshine. We have a lot of cats around here, and I'll give them like snacks and stuff and have a snack myself, maybe go get a coffee. But
coffee's your favorite.
Yeah, I really like coffee.
I'm not a coffee person. It does nothing for me. And I don't like the taste, too, so there's no benefit.
I don't drink much caffeine. And, like, I know I say, like, go get a coffee. I only go get coffee, like, 3 times a week, and I don't make it here. So
mm-hmm.
I only drink caffeine, like, maybe 4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So a cup of coffee gets me going.
Yeah, no, I've never taken caffeine. But it just doesn't work on me. No, not never. I don't take it frequently enough. The first time
yeah.
I ever took it to stay up all night in undergrad, it didn't work. I was very sleepy. I had to like walk around to stay awake because I had to stay awake. Shouldn't have done that actually because I crashed after my exam. I did well, but it was not healthy.
Yeah.
The only thing I learned from caffeine was that it makes you go to the washroom.
Yeah.
That was the only thing it did to
yeah.
me. Because in the middle of my exam, I remember needing to go to the washroom. I'm thinking, what is the point of this thing?
Yeah,
because it didn't keep me awake. So yeah, that's why I don't take coffee, because I don't like the taste and it doesn't help me.
I like the taste, But I also know some people that drink like 4 or 5 Celsiuses a day.
I don't understand that.
I don't either. I don't like the taste of those that much.
I haven't had Celsius, so I don't know what it tastes like.
It's like a soda-ish. But there's just so much caffeine, I don't know how they're okay.
Yeah, I remember someone saying that they could feel their heart beating.
That's and not yet normal.
They still took more. And I was like, you're in medical school for a reason. Okay.
Yeah.
And apparently doctors are the worst patients.
We
need to do better.
We do.
We can do better, believe in us. Oh, by the way, if you don't know what the Pomodoro technique is, it's like when you study for like 30 minutes and then you take a break for 10, 30. So that, and then when you, I think if you do like a long stretch of studying, then you can take a longer break.
Yes.
That's just.
That I do a 50-10 one. So you do 3 50-10s and then you go to 30-minute break.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I know. Maybe I should try it, but no, with my phone. Maybe
yeah, I'll really turn the phone off.
And then, so I know you said you gave up social time here. In terms of, because for me, I think something that unintentionally distracts me is just my social commitments back home.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a long-distance relationship, I have my parents that are transitioning to Canada, and all that, obviously, I love them and I want to connect
yes.
to them, takes my time. And I don't know that I want to give it up completely.
Yeah.
And so I find difficulty in balancing that. So what would you suggest?
Be selfish. Like, if you are going to be selfish at any point in your life, especially with your time,
mm-hmm.
this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about how much money you're putting into loans. Now put that into minutes per day. So we pay about $40,000 a semester
mm-hmm.
over the course of about 4 months. So that's $1,000 a month. Or no, $10,000 a month. That means each day is worth a lot. And each minute of that time is worth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very selfish with how you're spending your time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the people that I that know that I'm down here and like that I'm close with know that I'm being selfish right now, because it's like it'll reap in the future. And it sucks because, like, yeah, I've missed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've missed friends' weddings. I've missed engagements and all of these kinds of things. But it's, now is my time to be selfish. I can be selfless later.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, like, there's things that are really important. Like, I flew home. Well, not flew home. I flew to Connecticut my third semester during our hardest module. I flew during fundamentals
mm-hmm.
to go see my sister commission into the Coast Guard.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it's choosing what your time is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always plan for, there's going to be hiccups in the road. There's going to be times where it's like, my grandpa is sick. I need to be on the phone with my parents for 2 hours tonight. I can't study tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So also planning those in. But then later on when your mom wants to tell you about the flowers that she's growing in her backyard, maybe that's not something that you can spend your time on.
Yeah. It definitely requires discipline.
Yeah.
Because I think, ironically enough, I feel like with my parents, I'm stricter
yeah.
than with my partner. I'm not as strict with my boyfriend.
Yeah.
He thinks I am, and I'm like, I'm actually not.
No.
I'm actually not. But yeah, I think it's like balancing it, because I was like, I definitely want to nurture this, but then
yes.
I definitely also have to pay attention to my
yeah.
school. So yeah, but thankfully, I remember one of the biggest things when I first was coming here was being with someone who was understanding. He's really
yeah.
self-sufficient. Like, he would miss me, but he's not going to be like, why are you not talking
yeah.
to me? He's not like that. Because I remember thinking, like, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Someone would be so irritated with me. But yeah.
Okay. Even friendships are hard.
Even friendships are hard. Because even back home, I probably talk to, I would say one person I talk to at least once a week, one of
yeah.
my friends. The rest of my friends is like, when someone remembers
yeah.
the person
here
or
there,
like your birthday or something.
Yeah.
Which is, it can be sad, but then I'm, same thing, I guess I'm also grateful that they are understanding.
Yes.
Not, like,
yeah.
I think friendships as adults generally is difficult.
Yes.
So maybe people are more understanding because of that.
Yeah.
And then, especially because now so many of us move like to the other side of the world, even if not for school, for something. So I think
yeah.
we are used to missing
yeah.
things.
Now. My very best friend, she's a nurse. So she's a NICU nurse. And so she went through all the nursing school and everything, and like obviously works with doctors and residents. she's understanding, but it's also very hard for me to be like, to say no to the opportunity to talk with her. Because like, I really do only get, I mean, we call at least once or twice a week, but it's usually only like 10 minutes. Like, hey, are you alive? Like, you good? But then like times when it's like, we can sit down and have a conversation. It's so hard to say no, because that's a relationship that I love more than anything.
And I think that that's one that you're willing to make sacrifices for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get that. So yeah, I think like you said, it's just picking and choosing.
Yeah.
Fortunately, you just have to choose.
Who's getting your time?
Who's getting your time? It's the same way like you chose in the morning that you will spend your time with God. Because I think that was another thing I remember coming here being afraid of. That would I have time to do my devotion? Or would I have time to spend quality time with God? And yeah, that was something that I was like, okay, I can buy all these books. Like, I bought this devotional that I've always wanted. And I was like, are you going to read it? Or are you just going to read it and then that's all for the day? Are you going to actually meditate on the word?
Yeah.
Because your day is so filled with so many things.
Yeah.
That concept of, like, maybe pausing throughout the day and, I don't know, praying can seem difficult. But I think for me, it's because of how weak I am, or how much things I don't know, I am forced to keep going back to him. And be like, I want to get through this.
I want to see the end. My faith faltered a little bit at the beginning because of that. Because, like, I was in RCF, but I wasn't, like, in RCF, like, my first semester. I was just kind of like, yeah, I went to church every Sunday, but I wasn't fully involved. It wasn't until my second semester that I got, like, really, really involved in it. But, so often, I had to switch, because I used to do my devotionals in the evening, I had to switch it to the morning, because I'd just be like, I can get 30 more minutes of studying, and then by the time that I was not able to study anymore, I didn't have, like, the mental capacity to sit and read my Bible and my devotional, and, like, I was so tired, I just wanted to go to bed. So, switching it, and yeah, I wake up 30 minutes earlier now to do it, but it's the very first, I'm starting my day with it. And then, like, My showers are worship music. My workouts are worship music. My drive to and from school, if I have to go, worship music. And it's just like integrating it into your day. Because, like, no, I can't stop in the middle of the day and do a 2-hour sermon and a devotional and all of that. That's not something that I have time for. But I also have the full belief that our God is forgiving. Mm-hmm. And he put us here and he knows that, like, our time is very precious right now. And that it's not going to be the same as when we're back home and we don't have the school and I can do 2-hour devotionals in small groups twice a week. He knows.
Yeah.
And as long as we're still seeking him and trying to do the best that we can, there's not going to be any issues, I guess is the best word to use.
I think so. I think it's, yeah, he's not, my mom used to say to me when I would, maybe I'm not able to do something regarding church, when I used to serve in church, and I'd be like, she's like, your God is not a taskmaster.
Exactly.
He's not going to whip you because you did.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. You're not able to do it. Fine. You tell him why you're not able to do it.
Yes.
And I think that's something I remind myself even now. And for the times when, for whatever reason, I feel really convicted to do this and it's going to take a lot from me, I'm like, okay, I need your help because I still want to do this, but I physically can't see how that's going to work. I just can't see it. And I think, like, that was something I was really struggling with at the beginning of this semester. I was struggling with really intense anxiety. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And even with, for example, because even with RCF, I initially was fundraising and then became treasurer. And then I remember meeting with Mauricio and him explaining stuff to me. I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And even because I know I want to be potentially be in a different role next semester, and I know it's going to take even more from me. And it's like, this beginning of the semester, I was like, I'm feeling really anxious with everything that I have to do. I need wisdom to drop what I need to drop, if I need to drop anything. And I definitely need wisdom to balance what I currently have.
Yeah.
Because, do you ever get anxious or what?
You can ask Cody. I am the most anxious person.
Oh, really?
I'm always stressed because I want to do my best. And, like, this is one of my, like, biggest faults. Like, I'd rather not do it if I can't do it perfectly.
Yeah.
And so I struggled with that so hard. And even now, I'm like, I get ready for my exams and I'm sitting out there like scared. And it's terrifying because, like, we only had 2 weeks for this exam. Our entire first week is really club stuff. Like, clubs take up so much of your first week. And I was like, if I fail this exam, like, logically I know that I'm not going to fail. But, like, what if I did? And then I would blame it on that. And then it's more of these things. And I, especially starting last semester, like, third semester with fundamentals too, leaning more and more and more into God with my studies. Because there were days last semester where, like, I do my Bible study and I actually write all of my prayers. I have that book over there, is my prayer journal. So mm-hmm. this is my second one since starting medical school. And I fill it with my prayers, and it's like, guide me to study what I need to study. Help me to understand the material I need to understand. And you feel called to a specific lecture. You're scrolling through your notebook and you're like, oh, maybe I should look over that. And it ends up being something that's on your exam. And that, learning to trust more with God's ability to guide my hand, has helped ease some of it. Mm-hmm. Not all of it, because I'm a very anxious person, but that shift of, like, it's not me, it's mm-hmm. it's Him. Mm-hmm. It's Him guiding me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I keep having to remind myself of that.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know when I became an anxious person. I wasn't always.
I was neither.
I don't know. And it's something that I always have to remind myself of. And which I guess is why I love the book we pushed about last week Sunday. It was like, yeah, remembering that, like, Peter, who is one of my favorite disciples, to be honest.
Cause also what I'm speaking about on Sunday.
He's like so, I feel like he's kind of most relatable.
Yeah.
Because he's like so passionate, so just so all in, and then you just beat your passion, be foolish, or like be, or then you just take your eyes off God, and then you sink, which is what happens to most of us.
Yeah.
So I think probably what I'm going to close with this podcast. It would be, what is the Bible verse? Do you know? I don't remember. Sorry. It was in Luke, and it's the story of Jesus walking on water. Peter seeing him, asking him if he could come, and Peter walks on water for a bit. He looks at the storm, and then he starts sinking. And then he cries out for help, and then Jesus helps him up, and he says, oh, you have little faith. I think the thing to take from there more than anything else is, one, what you focus on.
Yeah.
While he was focusing on Jesus, he was walking on water. Like, he was walking on water. We're not talking about that he was doing the impossible, basically, and purely because he was looking at Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think remembering that, regardless of how anxious you get, or how overwhelmed you might feel, how, like, I guess even the children of Israel, when they saw the giants in Jericho, and then Joshua and Caleb were like, oh, because God is on our side, we'll be able to get this out. If you remember who is on your side more than who is against you, per se, they will never measure up. Nothing will ever measure to God who's on your side. So I think that's what I'm going to leave you with. Do you have any last words for us?
Even when you look away from God, He's still there. Because Peter didn't have his eyes on Jesus when he called for help, but Jesus still grabbed him.
Hmm.
So ask for help. On your knees at the feet of Jesus for help. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
That's good. Thank you. So, till next time, guys, stay safe and stay blessed. Adios, amigos.